Praise God. It's good to be with you today. And I've known your pastor since back in the 70s. My grandmother and grandfather owned a house on 3 Sand Street on the East End, bought in 1928. My wife and I went to SUCO here and graduated in 67. And during that time, we had about 12 Bible studies going in frat houses, sororities, and dormitories. And during those years in the mid-60s, over 40 people got saved on campus, and several of them went to the mission field, and that was quite a move of God. So Oneonta is very much in my heart, and I've always really appreciated this ministry here and your desire to have the ministry arts present. That's good. And I brought along with me Nancy Engel. She's in charge of ministry arts at our church, Rock Road Chapel. And I brought along Rusty Krimsky, who's our deacon at the Rock Road Chapel. And Bell Danzas, it's good to see you again. We got a lot of history going way back into the 70s and so on. We're going to show you just a website here of Rock Road Chapel, a church that began, I was the founding pastor in 1965. And it's still going on. 5 years ago, we had a complete burnout. That's the mission one. beside our church, we have built a house called the House of Nations, and that's a website there. It's called International Accelerated Missions, or we just call it IM. And that work has been 21 years. And the hub of the ministry is we're setting up discipleship schools around the globe. We're getting people rightly related to the Savior, to the church, and rightly related to ministry. We're bringing the Bible school to the student rather than the student come. So we got schools under banana trees, in grass huts, in concrete buildings. We have schools in Nigeria. And Ghana, I was just in Ghana in November. We have 11 schools there. We pulled together all our leadership and taught them. And then I went way out in the boonies. Everyone say boonies. And had a graduation there. And I brought every graduate, all these young men, a new used necktie and gave it to them. They were happier than if I gave you $500. And so we have schools there, Burundi, Rwanda, Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, Sudan, Congo, South Africa, Pakistan. We have some IM training schools in Pakistan, and they're going out into the mountain area where the Taliban are and sharing Jesus Christ. We have some schools in central and also northern India among the Muslims. And an exciting thing is we've started some schools now in Cuba. Everyone say Cuba. 90 miles off the coast of Florida. And the graduates are really coming to know the Lord, and they're going across the island. One day you're going to wake up and say, Castro's regime is broke, and there's a fires of revival are going across Cuba. Everyone say amen. Yes, so we got to believe God for nations. We need to pray for nations. Our hope is not in the Congress or in our president, but it's in the kingdom of God that's waxing strong and mighty in the days we're in. God's helped us to have a school in Haiti and Jamaica. I just came back from Jamaica 2 weeks ago. We started a school there in 1992, over 20 years ago. And we've had schools in Brazil, in the Baja, say Baja, of Mexico. And Philippines and Mindanao, the island there where there's a lot of communist insurrection and so on. So various places. And that's just wonderful that we've been able to go, because the scripture says to take the gospel to every creature and teach them all the things that I've taught you. Get them rightly related to the Savior, to the Word of God, and to a church. And we're going to hand out now. We have a little card here. We're going to have a gathering conference at Rock Road here May 2 through 4 called Expectancy. Turn to your neighbor and say, Expectancy. What are you expecting? We have 2 prophetic voices coming, David Hartwood, who's a messianic rabbi from Long Island, and also Matt Sauger, who's a prophetic voice, and you might enjoy that. And along with that, we're going to hand you out one of our newsletters. You can read about updates about some of the mission activity around the globe. How many know we're living in perilous times? Paul told Timothy, in the last days, there'll be those who are against authority. There'll be all kinds of things happening, and we are living in them times. How many believe we're in the last days? Raise your hand. Then why are we so concerned sometimes when we hear about the news? It was foretold it would be like this way. But you know what God is doing? God is raising up his people into a higher level of power. He's raising us up into a higher level of authority and of vision to be able to see the panoramic view of what God is doing on the earth. The kingdom of God is waxing strong and mighty. Have you noticed God is reducing some companies? They're not employing as many. He's downsizing companies. Government's going to be downsizing. They're broke because God is upsizing the church. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. He's upsizing his church. Perilous times. This past week, our president and one's a U.S. senator got some poison in the mail. West Texas fertilizer exploded, destroying over 100 houses, several people killed. This morning, one-third of the counties in Indiana have been declared a disaster zone by its governor because of floods. The Mississippi is 12 foot high, and the Boston bombing that's taken place. And on top of that, we have a moral and spiritual problem in the United States. We have it in Oneonta, Burn, New York, and Albany. We have it in our neighborhoods where we live. And at the same time, we have many congregations that are snoozing. I'm thankful I could feel the presence of God here today. Thankful to see the young people here as well as some folks in my category. And by the way, all you folks who look like I do, you know, losing your hair, getting gray, you're in the best days of your life. You've got experience. You've been with the Lord. You've been through hard times. You know what World War II and the Korean War were like, Vietnam. You know what? You know how to abound and how abase. Older people, you got something that young people need. How many know that? And you young people got something we need. You got energy. I'd like to bottle some of it and take a swig every couple hours. But we need some sons of Issachar who know what we're to do in this time. What are we to do in this time? And I urge people, listen to DVDs, CDs. Get on the internet. Look at Elijah lists, Morningstar, all these various things. Learn what you can. But keep in proportion, because if you listen to the internet enough, you could become a good parrot. But if you could wait on God, could wait before him, become acquainted with his voice and his purposes and pursuits at this time, you could become a prophet. We have many teachers, but not many fathers and mothers. We need fathers and mothers who know the way of the Lord. I want to say this morning, no matter how good you can hear from God, you can hear better. No matter how much you love God, you could love him more. I'd like to begin by praying a prayer. It'll be a good one because it's out of the Bible. It's Psalm 143, 8 through 12. It's a prayer of David. David is at in a hard place in his life. He's been through a series of reductions. He failed with Bathsheba. There's been other things. He's had to spend time in the cave of Adullam. And finally, in Psalm 84 and verse 2, he says this, "My soul and my flesh cry out for God." I think all of us here this morning could say, our soul and our spirit cry out for God. Can we say that? But how many of us could say our flesh is crying out for God? Oh, my flesh even, the totality of my being is crying out for God. So I'm going to pray this prayer. I'd like you to bow your head, and I'm going to change the pronouns so we can all be included in the prayer. Cause us, Lord, to hear your loving kindness this morning. For in you do we trust. And cause us, Lord, to know the way in which we should walk. For we lift up our soul to you. And deliver us, O Lord, from our enemies within and the enemies without. For in you, Lord, we take shelter. Teach us, Lord, teach us to do your will. For you are our God. Your Spirit, Lord, your Spirit is good. And lead us in the land of uprightness. Revive us, Lord, revive us. Revive us, O Lord, for your name's sake, for your righteous sake. Bring our souls out of trouble. And in your mercy, Lord, cut off all of our enemies. Destroy all those who afflict our soul. For we are your servants. And we thank you, Lord, for that position that we've been called to be far above, to be in alignment with your purposes and your character traits and your power at this time. Have your way in us this morning, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. I got up early this morning thinking about coming here, and a thought came across, and I wondered, what is God saying to the 13820 zip code area? What are you saying to the nearly 14,000 people who live in Oneonta? To the 5,800 students at SUCO and the 1,500 that are at Harwick? Oneonta, Lord, is in southern Oswego County. It was incorporated, this town, this village was incorporated in 1842 as a village. And in 1908, God caused people to incorporate this city as a city. The nickname of Oneonta is the City of the Hills, the Hill of the Lord. Do you know one time Oneonta had the largest locomotive warehouse in all the world? It's right here in Oneonta. I said, Lord, according to the census, there's 4,253 households within the city limits. What do you have for each and every one of them? And Lord, only 31% of the households here are two people married together. Two-thirds of the household are not so. Then I thought of the children in kindergarten, first, second, seventh, eighth. There's 1,850 children, K through 12, in the city of Oneonta. Oh God, what are your plans and purposes for these children, these young people? Lord, could they apprehend and lay a hold and become all that you desire them to be? Then I gave praise to God this morning for the Community Gospel Church on 12 Grove Street. That one of your theme verses is Ephesians 4:16, that each person would take their part in ministry. Turn to your neighbor and say, that each person would take their part in ministry. That's what's on your website. I read your website this morning, Pastor. Yes. And one thing it says on your website, that this church desires to be a lighthouse. And I agree with that, Lord, that this house shall be a lighthouse, shining a beacon of light everywhere in this area. And that, Lord, this place, their desire is to promote the kingdom. Oh God, may this house, this congregation, promote your kingdom. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Let your power and your glory be in our midst. Just open up this morning. Can you feel the presence of the Lord? He's knocking at the door of our hearts this morning. And if we'll respond to that knock, he'll come in and sup with us and share what's on his mind with us. 1972, three students from InterVarsity, RPI, began a Bible study. And in 1975, Sunday morning services began, Community Gospel Church. Pastor Don and Jackie began Sunday services October 20, 1976. Did you know that? And it began to grow fast in the beginning. And September 12, 1979, they bought the Knights of Columbus building, which we're in, aren't we? I congratulate your spiritual paths. I congratulate you what has taken place here. Let's give the Lord a clap offering of thanks. And Pastor Rodney and our worship leader, Chris, and his wife, I congratulate you. Thank you for all you've done. I want to say thank you to each one of you for what you're doing to advance the kingdom of God, but there's more that can be done. Turn to your neighbor and say there's more that can be done. You got to get used to talking to your neighbor and exhorting one another and encouraging one another. When my oldest daughter was five, I said to her, Jenny, what are you going to be when you grow up? She said, I don't know, Daddy. What are you going to be when you grow up? Kind of wondering, not yet. Hallelujah. Because there's more to be had in the kingdom. There's more to be had in the power of God. I'd like to read to you John chapter 10, beginning at verse 7. John 10, beginning at verse 7. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he shall be saved. Are you glad you're saved this morning? And will go in and go out and find pastors. They go in and go out. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, to destroy. Young people especially, I want to tell you, the devil wants to lie to you. He wants to steal to you. He'd like to take your life. I wept when I heard about that 19-year-old boy in Boston. A young boy. Young man. His earthly life is all messed up now, never to have freedom again. But I pray, oh God, that you would bring him to freedom in his soul and spirit. You would save him, and you would free him from the devils and demons that brought him into darkness with his brother. But Jesus said this, I've come that you might have life. And that you might have it more abundantly. Let's give him a wave offering. Hallelujah. Oh, abundant life. Hallelujah. 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 You know, Mother Teresa found that abundant life. She was in a city of 18 million people, all kinds of poverty. And she was wrapping up a leper young child. And somebody was there visiting and said, I wouldn't do that for $10,000. She said, I wouldn't either, and kept rapping. Somebody else said to her once with a little child, what difference can you make with all these millions of people in this city? She said, I can make all the difference for this little boy. Nadine, you can make all the difference for many individuals there. You won't solve all of Uganda's problems, but there'll be some who will be saved, sanctified, set apart, who will grow up and have a prophetic voice to their neighbors and their friends. Because you live there, others will simply live. You know, it's one thing to be successful. Several of us in this congregation have been successful. It's another thing to be significant. Oh, God, help me. Help me, Lord. So here it says that Christ is the door. He's the gateway. You can go in and you can go out. And we, especially in a church like Rock Road or Community Gospel, we like to go in. Oh, take me into the Holy of Holies. Oh, comfort me, Lord. Give me security. Take all my cares away. Give me your shalom, your peace. Heal my body. Meet all the needs. Save my family. That's wonderful. God would have that. We need to go in even further into his heart. And yet there's some times to go out. To go out into the arena of life. Jesus left the splendor of heaven to come down into this world and walked the dusty streets. And he can hear our prayers because he was tempted in all points as we are. And he understands us. One time I was praying. I said, oh God, I want to finish strong, Lord. I don't want to mess up as I'm getting older. Lord, keep me. I was just weeping before God. Have you ever done that? Because I've heard of men and women who messed up later in life. And after I got done praying, I felt the Lord speak to me. He said, Jay, don't ever leave me either, because I need you and love you. Oh, isn't that wonderful? I love my Father, and I want to be his son and be more conformed to his image. And he wants me. He wants you. Lord, have your way. And God has put within all of us a desire for adventure. Do you know why God is adventurous? Oh, he's adventurous. He sent Nadine Migley to Uganda. I mean, that's an adventure. How many know that? Woo-wee! She don't even have Tonto with her. She's all by herself over there. Oh, God help us. You know, and God has sent many of us on an adventure in I Am Mission. We're starting schools around the globe. We're working with national pastors. We have another component of the ministry called I Am Builders. They're going to be taking a trip over there to help her build a school. And do you know why? If you got $1,500 and you got a U.S. passport, you can be anywhere in the world in 36 hours. That's quite a stewardship. Don't save your money for Disney World. Come on, get a passport, come on, and go around the world to another place, have another experience. So we're gonna have a building team that goes, and the building team is made up of people just like you. Just like you. So why don't a few of you consider going to that building team and go over there. And we have another thing called I Am Mission, medical missions, where occasionally we send out a medical team who will go to rural towns and have a clinic. One time in Kenya and Uganda, we had 11 different clinics in a two-week period. We saw 6,500 people. And everybody came and went through triage. And we said, oh, you need to see a dentist, you need to see a nurse, you need to see a doctor, and you all need to see a preacher. We teamed up with nationals. And of them 6,500 people, we've seen 1,800 pray the prayer of salvation. Medical missions is a good way to touch hearts. You know, if you can meet felt needs, kind of opens up the spiritual needs. People sometimes don't want to know what you know until they know how much you care. And we We also have a warehouse in Albany called Jezreel International. That means the Lord will supply. And last year we sent 101 containers around the globe. We've sent over 30 so far this year. After Haiti's earthquake, the Lord enabled us to send 18 40-foot containers to Haiti, including operating theaters and bandages and medicines and all kinds of stuff. You know, how do we get all that stuff? We're sanctified scroungers. Point your finger at me, all of you. Say, there's a sanctified scrounge. Come on, say it. Amen. You know what? There's so many things here in America. Let's get them to people who need them. Hallelujah. Just open up. So God is adventurous. He's put us in missions and given us all kinds of adventures. But you know, sometimes we want to just be in with the Lord. We want to get everything very comfortable. We want to get everything figured out. We go to Christ Chapel Tuesday afternoon. Wednesday morning, I always have my Bible study. Thursdays in the evening, I always watch Wheel of Fortune. Get a life all figured out. And then we wonder why we get bored. Because God has put within us a desire for adventure. So let's have the intimacy with the Lord. Pursue Him out. But when God stirs our spirit, let's go out and see what God would have for us to do and how we can get involved in Uganda or Chestnut Street or Sand Street or walk up to Harwick College. I'm a country bumpkin. I'm a farmer as well as a pastor. But I like to put myself in other situations. I like to go down in Clinton Avenue and Lark Street every couple months in Albany, just walk around. There's not many people with my complexion in that area. It's a pretty rough area. You can hear a gunshot now and then, and you'll see three or four Afro-American young men tough up there. And here's what I do. I walk up to them. I say, is it your mother or your grandmother who's praying for you? They'll always answer, Grandma or Ma. Every one of them young, militant young men has somebody praying for them, and they know in the black church, they know that. And you know what? You could have adventure. There's a fellow bald-headed like me. He's got sunglasses on his head. I was walking in the mall in Albany, Colony Mall, and the three guys came down. One of them had a mohawk about 6 inches high, purple. And I went over and stopped, and I said, man, take me to your hairdresser. He said, what do you mean, man? I said, just look at this. And we had the biggest laugh. We had a great time laughing together. Hallelujah. You know what? There really is no generational divide. There's no racial divide. There's no gender divide. You know that? We just divide up things. Oh, God, help me to be in the security of you, but not get my life so predictable that I don't leave room for adventure and go out and just see where there's some adventure. Hallelujah. Maybe somebody here could be like that guy who ate locusts and honey and dressed in camel's hair. Oh, he was a different sort of a guy. What was his name? Oh, John, yeah. Was he a Baptist? Yeah, he was a Baptist. Glory to God. So we're designed for surprises, for challenges. And I want to tell you, we're living in a time now where God is changing schedules. God is bringing holy interruptions to Christians' lives who are willing to grow. I challenge you to take the Bible to bed and lay there and just read one verse, maybe Jeremiah 33:3. Call upon me. And I will show you great and mighty things thou knowest not of. You could have a holy dream and wake up with things you don't even know about. Hallelujah. And you know, what the devil tries to do is the older you get, they get you more contained until you're in Fox Nursing Home in a rocking chair doing this. Come on, the older we get, the more We ought to see the panoramic view of God. We ought to be more adventurous. Is that right? Hallelujah. Say, Lord, turn me loose. Excite me once again about the kingdom. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And as I was thinking about the statistics of Oneana and praying for your church, I felt the Lord say this. If somebody has a pen, they may want to write it down. Be open for the suddenlies of the book of Acts. The book of Acts. Hallelujah. We Pentecostals, we believe all that stuff, but be ready for it to happen. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's going to happen. God's going to move in this house. Hallelujah. God's going to move in this city. God's going to move, hallelujah, in this area. We've been praying, we've been believing, we've been interceding, but God, now, Lord, is a time for you to bring a holy interruption to Oneana, New York, and to our church, and do what's needed, and what is, split the pulpit in half like you did in Houston. Do something, oh God, in me. Work in me like you did Mike Bickle to start a IHOP. I've been there like 11 years, 24 hours of prayer, 7 days a week going on. I've been there like 3 a.m, sitting in there, people praying. Oh, and you know, if we could ever see God. Oh, Mueller saw God. And then he saw one verse. Pure religion and undefiled is visiting the widows and the orphans in their affliction. And he took care of thousands of people because he saw God and he saw one verse. There was a man in a Sunday school class, and the teacher said, this world's yet to see a man totally sold out to God. And the young man stood up and said, let that man be. That was Dwight L. Moody. He shook Europe for God. He shook North America for God. You know what? He had a big belly. Did you know he stuttered? He'd get in a pulpit and he'd start and he'd get stuttering and then he'd say, Lord, calm these lips that I can preach your word. And he could do it. One time he was in Toronto, he preached 21 nights on John 3:16, and then finally the last night he shut the Bible and said, I'm shutting the meetings down. I can't exhaust that verse. Now that's a preacher. That's a preacher. Oh, God, help me to see you like I've never saw you before. Oh, God, help me to see something in the Word that'll change my life. Bring a holy interruption into my life, Lord. Move by your Spirit in this city, Lord, and in my family and in my life and in this church, oh, God. Have your way, Lord. We desire your presence, Lord. Oh, God, what are the unfolding things yet to happen, Lord? Let it be, Lord. Let it be for this house, oh, God. Your will be done. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Let this house be a lighthouse, oh, God. Let it be a voice in the city of hills. Oh, God, we pray for every Christian among the 14,000 that are in this city, Lord, to arise and shine. And let your glory be seen, Lord. Hallelujah. Let it be, Lord. Another prayer that you may want to pray, perhaps it's the greatest prayer in all the Bible. It's in the Song of Solomon, chapter 1 and verse 4. Draw me. Let's all say it. Draw me, Lord. Draw me, Lord, because I'm a natural backslider. If you will draw me, Lord, I will run after you. With the totality of my being, I will run after you if you will draw me. You know, we really need the Lord to draw us, because if I said right now, let's all repent. It's kind of hard to do it. But if God has drawn you, and he's given you tears, and he's putting his finger on something in your life, you can repent, you can cry and say, God, forgive me. So draw me and I'll run after you. And then the Lord replies, if you do, I'll bring you into my chambers and I'll kiss you with the kisses of my mouth. Man, how many of you like to get that close to God? Oh, God, lay one of them kisses on me. Yeah, Lord, I need a kiss every day and a hug. Oh, yes, Lord, hallelujah. So many things happening on the news and so much criticism and so many people trying to say, oh, Pastor, don't get so worked up. Take it easy, your age, you know. Oh, God, give me another kiss. Give me another embrace. Pour some virtue in me, oh, God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And you know, the Shulamite, she went through a series of reductions in the Song of Solomon. And finally, in the last chapter, here's what she said in 7:10. I am my beloved's, and his desire is towards me. Ah, I belong to him. He has a desire towards me. Oh, Christian, if we could come to that, that we would know that we belong to him and he has a desire toward us. Don't ever waste your time wondering if God's mad at you. And please, don't ever go to a psychologist and pay $120 an hour and lay on his couch and for him to tell you you're loved. God loves you. He loves you unconditionally. He loves you unconditionally. Say, I'm loved. Come on, you women, you can get in more. I'm loved. Say it. Oh, I'm loved. Show me your loving kindness this morning, oh God. Root out all of my enemies within and without, oh God, and lead me in the path of uprightness and teach me and show me the way in which I shall walk. That was David's pursuit. Ah, where were we? Oh, yes. Yes, hallelujah. And it says, come, my beloved, come. Come, my beloved. Let us go forth to the field. And let us lodge in the villages. And let us get up early to the vineyards. And let us see if the vine has budded. And whether the grape blossoms are open and the pomegranates are in bloom. And there, I'll show you my love. And when you're tired, you can put your head on my shoulder, and I'll lead you back. Hallelujah. You know what? That's what God wants to do. God wants to take us by the hand. Let me show you the villages. He showed you a village, didn't he? Let me show you a village. Hey, let me take you to the gardens, show you what's budding and is about ready for harvest. Maybe God would take somebody and say, come on over to Davenport. Oh, you see this house? Something going on in there. You could have a prophetic voice in there. Ah! Or go over to Delhi and see the Catholic priest. And you know what? I live in Bern, New York. In the middle of the night, here a couple years ago, I got a call from a neighbor and said, there's been an accident. Could you come bring your tractor? So I jumped up, drove out with the tractor, and there's a car on its side. And I helped the guy get out, and it was the Catholic priest from Delhi. Now, is that a sovereign thing or not? Oh, but we prayed together. He was glad to be alive. Oh, hallelujah. The sheriff's come, and I said, Mr. Officer, you got two reverends here. You got a priest and you got a preacher here. Hallelujah. Can we help you? Oh, you never know what God's got. Let us go to the village. Let us go and see what God's doing. You know, and that's sometimes better than just knocking on doors randomly, but God, lead me. Become very acquainted to the move of God, that God could move on your heart. And God could speak to you, and all of a sudden, it says Jesus moved with compassion He looked at a woman or a girl and had compassion. He looked at a man. He saw that woman at the well, did he not? And really what he said is, honey, you've had so many husbands, and you're with a living boyfriend now. You don't need another man. That ain't going to do it for you. You got to learn to worship God. And she went back to the village, and she said, I met a man who told me everything I ever did. Boy, that got the men's attention. Everything you ever did, that means what I did. Wow, and they came out, and God touched the whole town because... But if you back up in the story, Jesus said to his disciples, you go ahead and eat, go down to Burger King, get what you got to get. I got some business to do here. See, he was moved by compassion. He knew something was going to happen. Oh, brethren, I want to urge you to slow down long enough to let God speak to your heart some new things that maybe you have not thought of or even heard. Help us, Lord. What does the Lord require? Micah 6:8, but that we do justly, we love mercy, and we walk humbly with our God. Be a doer of the word, not a hearer only, James said. Help us, Lord, to be a doer. You know, the word calling in the American church, calling, I'm called to this, you're called to that. That's kind of an overdone American way of looking at it. You know what the calling is? Be obedient to God. Be obedient to God. That's the calling, to be obedient. I'll leave you with a few lasting things here. Cultivate the art of downsizing. Say out your amen. Do you know what? Possessions can hold you hostage. Hey, we had a woman in our area years ago. She's dead and gone now. She had a testimony you've never heard. Sister Wolford. She stands and say, blessed be nothing. You ain't got nothing. You ain't got to worry about nothing, folks. Now you run after your cars and your TVs. You run after all that stuff. But I got my Jesus. Blessed be not. Boy, that's quite a testimony, isn't it? And you know what? She was at peace. She was at peace. She had Jesus, and Jesus had her. Now, there's nothing wrong. Abraham was a rich man. I'm in control of a lot of assets myself. There's no problem having things. But they can't control you. You have to control them under the unction of God. And we're living in a society... These young people right here, I just want to say to you right now, don't get hooked up with credit. Oh, by the time kids are 18, they owe $5,000 in credit cards. Don't get hooked up with credit. And you know what, you older folks, the next time you're studying somewhere and you're ready to sign a paper to borrow something, throw the pen and don't do it. Get free. Hallelujah. Owe no man anything but love. No, I still ain't going to sign the contract. And pray and say, God, my thinking sometimes blocks what you want to do. Give me some new paradigms of thought. Help me to think upon things that are pure and just and of good report, things that have praise, things that are lovely. And Lord, give me grace to run this race with patience, Lord. Also, I want to just tell you this. You know, it's not the big things we do in life. It's the thousands of little things that determine. The choices we make determine our prophetical stand in this life and in the life to come. The little choices that we make. Many are called, few are chosen. Many are called. All the students in New York State in high school are called to go to the state university. But few will be chosen because they have not prepared their grades to get into college. Is that right? We're all called. But will we all be chosen? Have we prepared our hearts? Are we willing and obedient? Or do we have a devotional life to the Lord? Lord, bring me to a higher place. in you. Well, I've given you a whole bunch of stuff. May the Holy Ghost give you one thing and you one thing. And maybe somebody got something out of all this, I hope. I feel better. I mean, really. I feel liberated myself. Praise God. And, you know, in Jamaica, when you leave, what they all say? Keep sweet. Now turn to your neighbor and say that. Keep sweet. Keep sweet. That's kind of a challenge these days to keep sweet, isn't it? Now, you wives, you remind your husband of that. Keep sweet. All right. Hallelujah. Let me just pray a Father's blessing on you, okay? It's been real good to be here. I honor you for your stand, what the Lord has done. But I just feel that God is going to release suddenlies. His suddenlies here. He's got some interruptions for some of your lives. Some of you, God is going to have you go on to another road that he has for you. Some of you young people, give your life to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't worry about getting some big degree so you can earn a lot of money, but say, Lord, maybe I go to Bible school for a year or two and just see if you can speak to me there. And if you want me to be a Holy Ghost dentist, I'll be. But if you want me just to go and be a worker somewhere, I'll do that. Oh, before I pray, I want to tell you what denomination I am. Did you want to know that? I'm a one God, apostolic, tongue-talking, holy Roman, born-again, heaven-bound believer in the liberating power of Jesus' name, and I suggest you be the same. Hallelujah. Hold somebody's hand, and let's pray strong. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that our names are written in your Lamb's Book of Life. We thank you for the blood that has washed away our sins. And Lord, we pray that you'd send your Spirit to do above and beyond, Lord, whatever we could even hope for, Lord. Father, we just don't want to hear about great things in other places. We want to hear about it right here in Oneonta, Lord. We want to hear about it in our neighborhood, in our schools, and on the job, Lord. And Father, I thank you for this church, and I stand in agreement with the pastors. I stand in agreement, Lord, for the unfolding. I pray for an open heaven over this house, that you would push back every hindering thing, Lord. And Lord, you would give us sovereign gift to repent this for Oneonta in the surrounding area. Those, Lord, who have no desire towards you, that they would respond to the eternity you've put in their hearts, oh God. Father, I pray for a spirit of revival to come in this area, that you would do a work, oh God, that would amaze the pastors of this city, Lord. We pray for every church in this city, Lord, every pulpit in this city, Lord, to preach the word of God. And Father, for many to come and be saved and build up in the holy faith and be sent forth from here even to the nations, Lord. Father, we pray. We've heard of Virginia Beach and Tulsa, Oklahoma, Lord. But may we hear of Oneonta, New York, oh God, the great and mighty things that you desire to do here, Lord. Oh God, we pray for a breaking today in the spiritual realm, Lord. We ask you today, Lord, for some great move to begin, that this could be a Kairos moment of time, oh God, where the very atmosphere of the city will change, Lord. I pray for a gift of faith for everyone in this house. I pray that everyone would have a part in the ministry and the furtherance of the kingdom would come forth and out of this house, Lord. We love you today, Lord. We love you. Just take a moment and pray for your neighbor. Pray for your neighbor. Just grab their hand and pray. Lord God, I pray for my one on the left and one on the right, Lord, to come to full purpose, Lord. Lord God, I pray that you would bring them to a higher place in you, Lord. I pray, oh God, for myself too, Lord. Lord, help me to humble myself and become obedient unto you and do what thus saith the Lord. Oh God, have your way, have your way. Have your way in this house, Lord. Supersede even what we're asking, we pray. Oh. Thank you, my God. And now, Lord, unto you who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before your throne with exceeding great joy in your heart and in our heart, to you, the only wise God, our Savior, let's say it together, be glory and majesty and power and dominion, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you.